Good afternoon, Eye of Faces listeners. You are here on the Eye of Faces with me, Sir Buckley, and also Lady Buckley, the wife of Sir Buckley. You know her well. It is 9 hours, just under, until episode 4 of Game of Thrones. But before we get to that, we're giving one last thought, one last little mini cast, maybe half an hour, to The Long Night. We are talking to you from fairly sunny England, and if we sound different, it's because we spent all day yesterday at Seend Beer Festival. Shout out to Seend. If anyone is from Seend, the tiny little village in Wiltshire, England, is listening, I'd be very surprised. But thanks for the beer, or cider. Lady Buckley had maybe perhaps too much, but she's still here, soldiering on, just for you guys. Today, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Myself and Lady Buckley, we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of things. We're just wondering, both about the episode, about what's happening going forward, and then I'm going to give a little bit of a spiel about why prophecy sometimes isn't the best storytelling tool, or how, more specifically, how it's misinterpreted, and definitely specifically, why John's story is in no way ruined, to me at least. Open to interpretation, everyone's got their own. That'll be that, and then it's nap time. And then it's episode 4 time, and you get to hear us all over again. Episode 9 already. Can you believe it? I certainly can't. But anyway, before she passes out again, I introduce you to Lady Buckley.
So after yesterday's beer festival and many, many drinks, do you feel you can talk to us for a little bit?
I feel like I need to have a nap, but yeah.
You need a nap anyway because the episode's so late. But before we get to that, before episode 4, we'll have one last little talk about episode 3, The Long Night, and we're just going to do some things we wonder, our little wonders.
Okay,
so do you want to start off with something you were wondering about The Long Night?
One of the things that I was really wondering about is something that we linked to in previous episodes, was what Bran was doing. So there's a lot of mystery around Bran, and quite early on in the episode when Theon and I think it was Alice Carr that were waiting, they had, Bran said, well, I'm going to go now. And you saw the crows like fly off. I was wondering what actually was he doing, because it can't have all been just watching the Night King. Mm. He must have been doing something else. What else was he doing with those crows?
Yeah, it's a lot of hinges on that, really, because people are saying either he's going to find the Night King, or distract the Night King, or lure the Night King. We don't really know if any of that happened, but it could be that he was, or this is what a lot of people hypothesise, what I'm hoping is he was doing something else, because people don't want this plot strand of Bran, Night King, White Walkers to be over just yet. That's certainly what I'm hoping, and that we've dealt with them, as is, then we're going to have one or two episodes about the throne, and then they're going to come back in some way and tie it in a neat little bow. I think that's what a lot of people were hoping, because they weren't quite happy with how it ended, and I'd agree with that. So definitely hoping that Bran was up to something. Whether that ties back into that Tyrion conversation we mentioned before, that'd be lovely as well.
Well, with one of the first kind of options that you were talking about, with it being about him luring and distracting the Night King, I don't think that, to me, that came across that was at all. In my mind, that the way that he works and how we saw him as the three-eyed raven when he was learning about it, for him to have already given Arya the knife and he knew things were going to happen before they were going to happen, in that sense he's already seen this, he already saw what was going to happen in this battle, as it were, or even just the moment with the Night King at the end, for him to have already given, so at that point I don't think he was looking to distract the Night King. I don't think it actually had anything to do with the Night King. It had to do with something else. I don't know whether it was to do with the battle, but yeah, and I like what you're saying about it could be a nice way for something to do with the White Walkers to come back in a way, but not come back, but as a different element to it, to finalise it.
Yeah, they can't just have like the same battle again.
Yeah, but what I would think, though, rather than have kind of White Walkers resurrected and things like this, is that if we just think about the season itself, it is still winter. It's still meant to be a long winter. It could be more in terms of the weather and how damaging that could be.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's with the White Walkers and what was before that, the wildlings coming down and this fear of winter I think the whole thing has been that actually winter is a quite damning season for them in Westeros. They don't have the amenities that we have in modern life here, but I think it could be more based upon the season rather than a resurrection of White Walkers.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a number of things. The other option is that he was actually, although we did see him walk into the crows, maybe after that, because we only see the crows once and then not again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's gone back in the past and is doing something of some kind like he used to do, because we haven't seen him do that yet this season.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something important that he's got to go back and do. Maybe it's another Hodor thing where he's like affecting the present via the past, or maybe he's gone back to find something specific, gone back even further. We don't know, but hopefully we'll find out.
And yeah,
hopefully there'll be a bit more Bran.
Yeah, I don't think his role will really end.
I hope not.
I don't think they can do that. I think, though, he may more take on a role of advisor rather than... He was such a pivotal point in that battle. I think he'd be more of an advisor. He's... Unless he has some real kind of impact on what would happen to do with the throne, which he will have, but whether they choose to be advised by that.
I'm not sure if he will. I don't know if his mind even contemplates like thrones and things now.
No, but in the sense that he has the knowledge of...
Yeah, they could just use him.
Yeah, he's got...
Wikipedia.
But yeah, like I mean, he is the advisor role. Something that is now missing from Daenerys. Now she's lost Barristan, now she's lost Jorah. She is missing an advisor. I know they say that she got Tyrion and Varys and things like that, but he is, well, a wealth of knowledge from past, and he saw like all the things to do with like the Mad King. He saw things about her family. He's seen things about everyone.
Mm.
So I think his role could merge more into an advisor.
Possibly. I don't think he will go that way. I hope he stays more of the mystical thing, because he needs something more to make his whole journey worth it, because it seems like a quite extrapolated journey to be, just become bait. He did learn about John, but I don't think that could be the whole point of him becoming the three-eyed, whatever it is, Crow Raven.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be, like, take sides, as it were. Right?
No.
Even though he does have an allegiance as a Stark.
Yeah, but he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care about those things. I think it's more in that he has a role that he is someone to go to. Type thing. Even anybody could go to him and have that kind of advice role. But there obviously will be some kind of point. There will be a good ending to him.
Certainly hope so. Okay, should we do our second wonder?
Yeah.
Wonder. My wonder was actually occurred to me straight away after the episode, is whether we're going to see any kind of like psychological or emotional fallout for any of these characters, because they've faced an unimaginable battle where hordes of them are slaughtered, and okay, not enough of our main characters died, I don't think, but some of them did, and some that's going to have emotional impacts. We've already seen Daenerys obviously react to Jorah, but Sansa's got to react to Theon yet. Sansa's probably the only one there that really cares about Theon at this point, but she still has to react to it. I don't think Davos will really react to Melisandre, but it's still probably creeped him out a bit. And Sam and Jon with Ed, I guess all of them for Lyanna.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jorah's not there to mourn Lyanna.
But, like, obviously, with Jon and quite a lot of the Northmen, any of those who survived, she was the one who started him as King of the North.
Yeah, that's true. Did kick a lot of it off.
Her, as Mormonts, they backed them from the very beginning, and she was a strength. So I think there is still that connection. I think she will be sorely missed.
Yeah. And more so just than specific character deaths, but also just the fact that, you know, a normal, in quote marks, normal battle will mess you up anyway, to say nothing of waves of dead coming at you and falling down and then all your buddies getting killed and then rising up and trying to kill you also. They're not obviously not going to have a lot of time to have them all sitting around in shell shock, but would definitely like to see like a Grimmer Pod, for example, who's seen something like this and is now a bit more moody and, you know, people taking that seriously. I don't want them to just, oh, we've won, celebration, feast, turn around and go south, because I don't think that's realistic that you would just... I know they have to go south and they all know they have to go south, but they should be a bit grim and dazed about the whole experience still, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think they can really just get up and walk away from this battle. There's a lot of things, but I think on the back of that there'll be a wave of relief, as it were.
Yeah, I'm sure.
that wave of relief might not necessarily kind of show itself, especially in this first episode from that battle. I could say the wave of relief is going to be a lot of kind of reunions with people, like heartfelt kisses, a lot of what you see is the more happier side of things, just to counteract what is such a hard hitting episode. I know it's Game of Thrones and it's not gonna obviously resonate for a long time, but I do think we will need to have a lot of moments where we see how people have fallen, like how the fallout for them is, but how they are as a group rather than as individuals. Because I know you've picked out individually saying, like, well, Pod would have a fallout, but what about his connection with Brienne, Brienne's connection with Jaime, the fallout of things like that, the the group dynamics rather than the individual.
Okay, so we'll leave that one there. And our last wonder is another of mine. And I was wondering that... So Arya has killed the Night King, whether people like it or not, she did. So is she going to receive the credit for it among characters? Is it going to be widely known? Obviously, Bran's the only actual one who saw it, as far as I know, but you're assuming they're going to all be told. But wider is... you know, through the camp and all the soldiers, are they going to know Arya as this mysterious Night King killer, or is she going to slink back into the shadows because she's not obviously not the celebrity type? What do you think?
I think there will be some kind of recognition of the act, but I think it'll be seen more of a team effort. I know there's been lots of speculation about kind of people who helped her on the way and different people thinking that, well, actually, how did she get to that point? Well, there must have been support from someone else. I know Beric and the Hound took her to that point with Melisandre, and then she ran off. But there must have been some people who saw her on the way. I know the actual act of it was just Bran, but I think it'll be seen more of a team effort. And I don't think that Arya as a character would want the, not the recognition of the act itself, but the reverie that comes with it. I think she'd prefer to be able to have more of that faceless characteristic.
I don't think she's going to seek out limelight, obviously. I think she should step away from it, if anything. I think in a month or so, especially when they go south and people start questioning the story anyway, because it is quite a far-fetched story that an Iceman came to your castle, that people are just going to look to the names they know, i.e. Jon Snow and this dragon lady who's just turned up, wants to rule our country.
I think with all of that, it's going to be very unifying for all the characters, because we have got a lot of conflicting characters who were in that battle. But I think it will be unifying from all of these wonders to say that, actually, how are they going to, having had this battle, how are they going to then gel post it? I think Jamie's a big one to pull up on that and say, well, are they going to trust him now? I know they relied upon Brienne speaking up for him.
Yeah.
And he did fight for them. Are they gonna, would he then be within their side to then think about going south, or are they gonna see him as something else?
Yeah, it's a good counteraction to our second wonder about negative emotional fallout. Will there be positives in that? They obviously, no one's questioning the threat who's here now, and everyone played their part. And obviously, although a lot of our main characters did survive, most people died, so they will have this unifying, or we actually did. You must have done quite a lot in that battle. You know, even Sam on the floor, he still survived when thousands of others didn't. So are they going to have this unifying, well, we can easily take Cersei now because we just defeated the apocalypse type thing?
I don't think they'll see it as kind of easy, but you're right in that. I think they will band together. I think any conflict that the North may have had with Daenerys will not go unnoticed, but will almost dissipate, and it will be more of a sense of survivors kind of understanding. They are able to relate to each other, they were able to go through that battle together. And with that, I think there's a lot of kind of, when we're talking about it with the whole Jon and Daenerys, the reveal of that, I think what I personally wanted could, as now given more of an opportunity for that to happen, I wanted them to be able to have still John as King of the North, as it were, the North still be an entity but in allegiance with Daenerys. I think because of this battle, because of such a epic, tumultuous fallout of emotions, that you would be able to have that unity with the two conflicting sides.
Yeah, it's a good, we can almost add on a fourth wonder about how quickly they'll get back to, we've just spoke about the positive, and I think we'll see that in a main sense, you know, Tormund and Brienne and Sam, all those people out on the walls, but the upper characters, Jon, Daenerys, how quickly will they go from jubilation of surviving and winning back to the questions that they actually have to deal with? Do they just take a sigh and then get back to Sansa and Daenerys? I'm talking about the North, how quickly does Jon and Daenerys talk about their incest problem?
I think they will talk about it. I think it will be almost in this episode. I think there's so much that they're going to have to build up, get to, understand, that they're going to have to address these things within as soon as possible, as it were. I think sooner than probably would be realistic, but it's
needed.
Yeah, it's one of those focus points that's going to help them get through it, because actually, when you think about it, Winterfell itself is going to need completely rebuilding.
Yeah, that's true.
Masses of bodies.
I haven't thought about that. It's quite a logistical nightmare.
There's a lot of logistics which they could sit and they could wait for months trying to rebuild and refortify and sort themselves out, because what she's lost, what all of the Dothraki, majority of the Unsullied.
They don't know who's left, really, do they?
Yeah, it's very much that there was something that it thought on my mind with when it was Rob's campaign, was that there's a lot to be said about sitting and fortifying and building up your armies and thinking about this, but actually, at the same time, you need to strike while you've got that fire, you've got that unity, you've got the ability to go, well, no, we need to move now before people start going back to their halls and getting comfortable.
Mm. Yeah, a problem they've faced before.
I was just saying that one thing we needs to be thought of is, what is there a dissolution of the Night's Watch now?
Yeah, a lot of people have been wondering that, because in theory, it would be pointless. What are you guarding against? But also, I wouldn't want to take the chance. I know, like, they've killed the Night King, and maybe Bran says something that's like, yeah, it's finished, it's done. But still, are you not going to... Well, maybe we should just keep them up there for a little bit longer in case more come or whatever.
Same way, as in, are they going to burn the bodies?
Yeah. But then they've got to rebuild the wall at Eastwatch. Do they even have the capabilities? Because that's all kind of a mystery, how that actually got done. Can they actually do that?
These are all things that need to be considered.
Who do they persuade to go up there?
Well, that's it. All things that need to be considered, but logistically would take a lot of time, take a lot of people.
Yeah.
When
probably
actually
won't get covered in the show.
Well, yeah, but with that, it's one of those things for Daenerys. If she allows these things to happen, her claim, her kind of fire of this maybe unity that they will have as a potential, then she'd lose that, because of all these other things that we need to think about.
Okay, yeah, that's a really good point. But we'll leave it there. Do you want to give us any final thoughts on The Long Night before we get to episode 4 later on?
I've said it before, but I absolutely loved it. I don't know why people had so many problems with it, because actually it was shocking. It at times made you feel exhilarated, fear. It was a real thrill ride, and it's one of those episodes that you will not forget.
That's true. Yeah, pretty impossible to forget it. Okay, right, are you going to go off, look after doggy before your nap, let the alcohol run out of your system?
Alcohol's long gone, I'm now just tired.
Okay, whatever you say.
Bye.
Okay, so dear sweet, Lady Buckley has gone to have a lie down. She told me before recording I wasn't allowed to say how much of a state she was yesterday, so we'll do a little test and see if she actually listens back to the episode or not. And if she does, and I get told off, I'll let you know. If not, it'll be our secret. Anyway, you've heard her wonders, and time's ticking on, episode 4 is coming. So before that, I want to talk a little bit, very briefly, about why I don't feel anything's been ruined about Jon's story, or Daenerys either. You can really apply this to both. Prophecy is obviously widely used storytelling tool, especially in fantasy or sci-fi also. It has its ups and downs. I come down a little hard on it, to be honest. I don't put as much stock into it as some others. I understand, obviously, foreshadowing and kind of narrative structure to bring back things together. I understand all that, and it definitely works in a lot of cases. But sometimes people rely on it too much. I think probably maybe it comes off a little differently in visual media than it does written. I think it's much more a written arena.
You can kind of see what happened with Star Wars, Last Jedi. People sometimes get too bit fixated on being able to guess the prophecies and work it all out. And that's definitely something our fandom can relate to, given how much time we've had to come up with our own theories and plausibilities and how deep we've been willing to go. So I can understand why when that doesn't come off or people don't think it doesn't make sense, they get a bit ticked off. But in this case, specifically, Arya killing the Night King, Jon not killing the Night King, Daenerys not killing the Night King. People think Jon or Daenerys has been given a disservice, and I disagree. Jon still saved them all. Jon still was the king type figure, the Aragorn. Okay? Just because he didn't strike the final blow, just because he didn't get the fight, irrelevant. And I actually think it fits quite well with Game of Thrones. The first hero we were given was Ned. And Ned was not going to be the type of guy to just go wielding a lightsaber and busting through and all that. The whole point of Ned is showing how much more complex a hero is and how much more complex a person is. Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire is not that straightforward. It's not just the guy who swings the sword or gets the cool slow-mo kill is the badass we should all like. That's not what this is. Jon had the harder job. He had the far harder job of discovering the threat, elaborating on the threat at Hardhome, etc., etc., bringing the North together, uniting the people. You really can apply this to a lot of the prophecies of Westeros and Essos. If you go through it, I know History of Westeros are going to have a big episode about this. They spoke about it briefly in their Book to Show stream on Wednesday, which I was lucky enough to contribute to, about how, you know, you can really, it doesn't say specifically this person will kill this threat or whatever. You can apply it to what Jon did, which is unite the people, fight against the oncoming dead, the oncoming threat, and surviving. You can't, I know people just say, yeah, but it doesn't matter because Arya killed him. Right, but how did Arya kill him? Because of Jon and Daenerys' efforts. She wouldn't have got close, she would have been killed. All of them would have been killed. This is why I don't understand when people say, well, Jon's worthless now. Daenerys is worthless, when I'm going to go watch back through all their journey from Pentos and from Winterfell, through the Night's Watch and through the Dothraki, and you know their stories, that it's all going to be pointless. I don't see how that's valid at all, to be honest with you. Firstly, they're great stories in their own right. Seeing their development, seeing Jon become a Night's Watchman and join the Wildlings, seeing Daenerys go into the fire, gain all her supporters as she goes, dragons growing, etc., etc. They were great stories anyway, regardless of the ending. Let's not discount those stories for what they are. But even at the end, you can't discount their worth. You can't say that Jon going to Hardhome was pointless. He saved hundreds of people from Hardhome, plus all the knowledge they gained. You can't say letting the wildlings through, bad idea, same thing. All they've done to unite all these people. Daenerys, people say, what's the point of her coming up? Because they all would have died otherwise, hundreds and hundreds of people. You saw her dragons. You saw what they did. This episode was about how close they got to losing and how they would have been absolutely nowhere near winning without either of these two. It's still a great story for Jon and for Daenerys. You've also got to remember that it's not just a case of one person. We're never going to get one person. If you've been watching Game of Thrones, it's a story about near countless characters and how they work and interact together. You can't turn around and say, yes, Jon Daenerys. A couple of years ago, we even thought Tyrion was the main character. But anyway, the heroes that were at Winterfell, Brienne, Podrick, Jaime, Tormund, Gendry, blah, 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 Gilly, Sansa, Sam, all of them had a part to play. They interweave over 8 seasons so much, you can't say that any of them aren't critical, because all you've got to do is just pluck one out, and suddenly the whole thing falls down. You just take Davos out of there, it changes everything. There you go, Gendry. Gendry won't be there. They don't have to make these weapons, or they make less of them, what have you. Bloody, bloody, blah. You take Brienne out, that massively changes Jaime. Sansa's probably not there. Arya, possibly. depending on what happened with the Hound. You don't know. And it's just going to be one of these things where people look back and these legends get created because they're going to boil down to Jon and Daenerys because they're the famous ones. Who's going to remember Podrick? But it will be, you know, you can kind of picture these guards on the walls talking about this in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years' time, talking about the Battle of Winterfell and the Long Night and saying, oh, yeah, there was the guy with the golden hand. And someone said, no, you mean the guy who died, didn't you? He says, who died? And that's how rumours start. If we get Brienne and they get mixed up with Sir Davos. No, it's the other sir. No, it's the... That's what happens. That's how these legends start. So don't put too much into them because it's a team effort. They all saved Westeros. They all saved the world. Yes, Jon led them. Yes, Daenerys brought her dragons and brought basically the entire army up. Yes, Arya struck the killing blow, but each of them has a part to play, and take one of them out, it all falls apart. And I just wanted to put my 2 cents in because there's been a lot of stuff flying around. I've tried to keep away from it for most of the week, but just, you know, there's lots to validly question in this episode. I absolutely understand that. I can see where a lot of people are coming from, but when you just see people blurt out things without really thinking that Jon's pointless and Jon's fight to win and blah, 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 I don't see that. It's more complex. You have to think deeper about Game of Thrones. And, you know, there's bits I don't like, and I hope that they really do bring the Night King in some form back. I hope it's not just Iron Throne based now, but we will see later on. I just wanted to put my 2 cents in and remind you just what Jon did and how he saved basically the world, as did Daenerys, as did their 2 stories intertwined, allowing them to do so. I've always thought that they'll never get the credit, and I'm talking about in universe here, yeah, they'll never get the credit really that they deserve for what they did, and probably not. Maybe I will get all the credit like we discussed earlier, maybe. Who knows? But we know, as readers slash viewers, how prophecy is too liquid a form to really grasp on and get annoyed about. Just don't do it. Just enjoy the ride. 2 weeks from today, I tweeted earlier, 2 weeks from today is the last episode of Game of Thrones. Let's just enjoy it, because once it's gone, we are going to miss it. It's absolutely your right to criticise when you feel right to criticise. Your right to say whatever you like. Just don't act like we aren't lucky as hell to have got this series and to still have 3 episodes left. Okay, 7.5 hours and counting. Stay off the internet. Apparently there's leaks and spoilers. Don't get involved in that. And we shall speak to you again during the week. Have fun, everybody, and enjoy. Good night.